William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead. That'll get you fired up. Another thing that'll get you fired up, if you're a Braves fan, Austin Riley just hit a ball to Michigan. It was totally out of the state of Wisconsin. I don't know what the specs on that were. If somebody can send me that, I need the track man on that. It was a 3-2 pitch. He got in a 3-2 count with Corbin Burns, fouled off a couple of pitches, and then just totally unleashed the beast. It was way out in left center field, and the Braves are up 3-0 on Burns and the Brewers in Milwaukee. A chance to win. They had a shutout win last night. Chance to do it again still early. Max Fried's got a lot more outs to get, but a good start for the Bravos today and a good start for Austin Riley.
That was an example of a hitter who picks a zone, picks a pitch, says, I'm going to close my eyes and swing as hard as I can, and all the stars align and the ball happened to be there. And that was textbook. I mean, you talk about a pretty swing. Good grief.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And they're making Burns work, too. Two outs in the third. He's about to throw his 52nd pitch. And Ozuna just hit one. Oh, my gosh. They're barely even moving in the outfield. This is further than Riley's home run. Oh, my God. He hit it on the porch.
He just killed a lady in the pool.
Oh, my Lord. They're teeing off. Ozuna, who hit one last night that still hasn't landed. It's a different deal to hit one off Burns that hasn't landed, though. They go back-to-back off of a legitimate Cy Young candidate. It wasn't further, by the way. It looked really good. Riley, text from the 864 says Riley's homer was 429 feet. Ozuna, a pauper, only 409 off the bat. But that ball was crushed, too, to left center field. Just a spinning fastball right the knees. Mercy.
He's seeing the ball really well right now.
Braves getting in some batting practice. That is his, am I right in saying his 16th home run in 45 career games in Milwaukee?
He enjoys Milwaukee very much.
Ooh, buddy. Something else that you'll enjoy is your experience at Toyota of Easley. When you go to Toyota of Easley, you're going to feel like Marcelo Ozuna standing in the batter's box in Milwaukee. You feel right at home. And you see those deals coming at you like Marcelo Ozuna sees a fastball coming at him when he's standing in the right-hand batter's box. In Milwaukee. This is the thing about Toyota of Easley. At every single step of the process, pre-sale, during the sale, after the sale, you're talking about people who are going to be there. Their service techs are terrific, so when your car needs service, they're going to be there for you. If you want to trade in your vehicle, if you want to sell them a used vehicle, they'll give you a great rate for that. It's a first-class establishment at every single step of the process. That's great. That's the great thing about Toyota of Easley. They've won a President's Award almost as many times as they've given them out. That's how good they are at their jobs at Toyota of Easley. It is a first-rate experience, no question, right there on Highway 120, off of Highway 123 in Easley. Go by and see Ryan and the good folks at Toyota of Easley. Check them out online at toyotaofeasley.com. Ben, can we, where Will Vandevoort has been delayed. Uh-huh. We may have to bump him today. Let's go ahead and hear from our friend, the camel.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, yeah, we got some great hump day headlines for you. Ben Milstead's over there cackling every time I look up, and I know mine are elite, so we've got you covered on this hump day with plenty.
We do. Quack, I will start it out for us today in New Delhi. That's right. New Delhi, where a retired Indian couple is suing their son and daughter-in-law, demanding that they produce a grandchild within a year or pay them the equivalent of $675,000.
Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
This is not a joke. Mr. Prasad, I believe is how you pronounce that. Apologies if it's not. A 61-year-old retired government officer is dead serious about this. He says, we want a grandson or a granddaughter within a year or compensation, because I have spent my life savings on my son's education. They paid for their son to become a pilot, in the United States. He was married 6 years ago. The dad thought, if I give my son an education in the U.S., he will then be an eligible bachelor, will attract a wife, will get married, and will have a grandchild. It's been 6 years, Kwok, no grandchild, and they are now suing the son and daughter-in-law. Listen to this quote. Quote, the main issue is that at this age, we need a grandchild. But these people have an attitude that they don't think about us. He doesn't even call them by name. He says, these people. They have an attitude that they don't think about us. We got him married in the hope we would have the pleasure of becoming grandparents. It's been 6 years since their marriage. It feels as if, despite having everything, we have nothing. Here's the kicker. The court in New Delhi has accepted their position and petition and scheduled a hearing.
Are you kidding me? So this is not just a lawsuit filed. This is a lawsuit that is actually going to be argued by allegedly serious people in court?
Yes. Oh my goodness. They are serious about being grandparents.
Well, no kidding, they're serious. How old are they? Does it say?
He is 61. 61. Her age is not disclosed.
Okay, good for them. Good for them. They called their son and daughter-in-law those kinds of people. But they still have the decorum to say, we're not going to tell the lady's age. That's remarkable.
I give you 1 year. 1 year.
All right. How bad would it have to be as a dad for you to take your kids to court because you didn't have grandkids?
Man, now, you know, it's a different culture. I get it. And that's obviously accepted in New Delhi, that a court would actually listen to that petition and schedule a hearing. So, I mean, like, that's a serious thing there. But you're suing your son because they haven't produced a grandchild yet.
For like almost $1 million.
That's remarkable, man.
That's unbelievable. I do think this is a modern concern, because, well, it's not a modern concern, but I think the level of concern is heightened for two reasons. One is because the age that people are getting, if you look at statistics, the age that people are getting married is later. And I would imagine even in like an arranged situation or, you know, a different cultural context than ours, people are getting married a little bit later. The second thing is that people are having fewer kids. People are having a few less relations, young people, and are having fewer kids than any generation before. So like, you know, there's some concern about birth rates and stuff. And like, look, I'm 32. I don't have kids.
Look, don't try to make this story serious.
Do I hear once a month from somebody who is laughing but is totally serious about, hey.
Oh, like, I've been there, done that.
When are we going to get some grandkids? When am I going to get a niece? When am I going to get another nephew? When are we going to get et cetera, whatever. And looking at me going, ha, ha, ha. And I know all you're being serious.
Yeah.
I know you're being serious.
I've been
behind
there, done that.
Behind that sarcasm, behind every humor is a serious statement. Every bit of humor is a serious statement. But I wouldn't even know what to do if my parents are like, all right, that's it. You bunch of bums.
Yeah.
Pull your pants up or... Really,
wait.
Yep.
That's a horrible choice of words.
I'm not even going to try to recover that one. I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to try to recover that one.
You didn't just say that.
You know, I meant to say put on your big boy pants, but I'm not even going to do that.
Or take them off, either way.
Give us a freaking grandkid!
I'm
going to see the judge.
I am blushing. I am blushing over here at what you just said.
Oh my God! Why is the room spinning?
You people heard that, right?
Why is the room spinning?
You people heard that? Whew. Just making sure.
Oh, mercy.
Okay, give me one. All of mine are legal related. So,
Lord. So I need one. I need one to just soften the blow a little bit. Here's a nice one. Here's a nice hump day headline. You know, there's been no good stories for the Cincinnati Reds this year. God, I cannot. Oh my God, I can't read any of the text right now. For the third time in history, Ben. Last night,
the Reds.
Two brothers recorded saves on the same day in Major League Baseball. It's happened three times. The first time was back in 1994 when Ravelo and Josias Manzanillo, or Josias Manzanillo, did it back on June 30th, 1994. The second was on June 13th, 1997 when Todd and Tim Worrell both completed saves. And last night, Edwin Diaz of the Mets and Alexis Diaz of the Reds both recorded saves. Just the third time that a pair of brothers have accomplished this feat. I can't tell you how much it warms my heart. Couldn't care less about Edwin, but Alexis Diaz getting that save last night was sweet. Now, I will say that it was good that Edwin Diaz wiped away the formerly dirty cheating St. Louis Cardinals in the ninth inning. So the fact that my team won and Ed's team lost, that I'm not sure that's happened at all this year, that was nice. So I got to get in with some positive Reds news. Just throw that out there. Nice little brotherly love situation. And I hope Alexis continues to pitch in high-level spots for the Reds, because currently this season on the worst bullpen in baseball, he has a 0.52 ERA.
How about that?
And I spent all of that time, ignoring the text line.
I didn't hear a word you said. I'm reading the text line. Texter says, I'm suing my son because he can't even get a girlfriend.
Oh, that feels like you got to go a little high. What was the dollar amount in that story?
$675.
Okay, $675. Like? So you got to go at least like $750.
Texter wants to know if any of these brothers have children. pull your pants up. Can't. Can we leave our socks on?
Yeah.
Texter wants to know.
Yeah, you can leave your socks on.
Okay.
You can do that.
Quack, in Pinellas Park, or Pinellas County, Florida, yesterday, 29-year-old Jacob Philbeck was arrested for misuse of the 911 system. Mr. Philbeck repeatedly called 911, even after being warned not to, to express his feeling that El Chapo needed to be freed from prison and President Biden needed to go to prison.
What?
He?
Are you kidding me?
Not once, not twice, but three times did he call 911 after they tell him not to do that. One time even disguising his voice.
Oh, my goodness.
This is going to come as a shock to you, Quag, but documents reveal that alcohol may have been a factor.
May have been a factor. You know
shocking.
What? I want to know what else is a factor, because if you want El Chapo out of prison, you must be really concerned about your ability to generate income. I'm not really sure.
What in the world? I mean, what a weird combination. Wants to replace Biden, El Chapo in jail with Biden. Those are the two that you pick?
That's Jesus and Barabbas.
Yeah.
Is what we're talking about here.
What in the world?
All right. El Chapo, maybe the most dangerous man in a prison in the world right now. Joe Biden, if you put him in, I shouldn't say this. This is not really a political statement as much as a cry for help for this guy. I'm not, how many days would it take for him to realize that he's in prison? I'm not really sure. I'm not sure that Joe Biden's all with us. I don't even think that would be effective. I don't even think you'd be accomplishing the goal you think you're accomplishing by putting Joe Biden in prison. What an insane statement.
Yes.
And totally insane. Clinically insane.
There's more. What
there's more? Oh, shit.
Not on that story.
Oh, I was going to say Will Vandervoort is going to he's going to join us in the next segment.
Okay.
So we have him on next segment.
All right.
I got to save the others. We have another animal situation at the ballpark. Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, yeah. We have another one. This one not handled quite as well as the situation in Arkansas. So we'll get to that. Also, we have some great Mike Krzyzewski news that I'm sure is going to be well received by Road Rage, by the way. Walter Tula from 3 to 7.
We are strategically saving one for the last segment.
Oh, yeah. We're just going
to put that on the old T there.
Just people helping people. All right. Hour 3 continues. We will visit with Will Vandenborre right after this.
My Garage by Essex, the go-to place for vehicle maintenance. Whether it's your newer or older vehicle, we even repair those old classics of your grandparents that need some major maintenance or repairs to keep them going like the old days. We are professionals that perform high-quality workmanship with high-quality parts. Please stop in to see us at 551 Old Greenville Highway, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or give us a call at 864-633-5800.
Since 1917, Harbin Lumber Company has been a top lumber and building supplier in the industry. Their number one asset is their employees, people who are dedicated to providing quality building products and contractor services. People just like you, working to grow and be a part of the community. From construction projects to large remodeling jobs, see the hardworking folks people have entrusted for nearly 100 years. Harbin Lumber Company, serving South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina, and online at harbinlumber.com. Clemson Marina is getting families into new 2022 Triton fiberglass and aluminum fishing boats and other great brands this spring. Triton boats are built for performance, designed to get you on the fish and to the top of the leaderboard. Schedule a service appointment and our certified techs will keep your boat running smoothly all year. We have daily and weekly boat rentals, private events and catering at the grill, and a hassle-free boating alternative at Freedom Boat Club. Clemson Marina, your authorized Triton boat dealer.
Rely on the professionals at EnviroMulch for any outdoor project. Even when it's hot outside, EnviroMulch has the right products to protect your plants and help them retain moisture. This enhances your home and saves you money. Order online at EnviroMulchOnline.com.
I'm Eddie Bennett. Spring is here, and Bennett has Takeuchi track loaders, excavators, and wheel loaders available for sale or rent at our locations. Bennett and Takeuchi now offer attachments for track loaders and excavators with the Takeuchi quality and dependability you've come to trust. Call or visit any of our upstate locations or online at BennettEquipment.net. Bennett Equipment and Takeuchi, two names you can trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Thursday nights are special in downtown Seneca. People around the county talk about it. They look forward to it every week. People from other states come here. I'm talking about Jazz on the Alley. It's an atmosphere like no other. So after work on Thursday night, 7 till 9, why don't you join about 1,000 of your closest friends on Ramcat Alley in Townsville Street for a night of jazz. Great music, great food, and you. What a great combination. Make your plans now and come on every Thursday. You'll want to get here early because tables and chairs go quickly. Might want to bring your own chair. Why don't you check out a few sounds of jazz every Thursday night?
I feel good. And I'm going to be high.
So grab all your friends every Thursday night. People are talking about this event all over the state. You'll want to be a part of it. Thursday night, 7 till 9, Ramcat Alley and Campbell Street. It's Jazz on the Alley.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Spring is here and summer isn't far off. Nobody wants to see that old dad bod at the beach. Come into Low Country Mail today and get that weight off, get your energy up, and get your game back in the bedroom. Our concierge plans are just $220 a month and include testosterone, doctor visits, and labs. Ask us about our new peptide weight loss protocol that burns fat and eliminates cravings. Worried about thinning hair? We got you covered with PRP Hair Restoration. No contracts, no pushy salesmen, and no beta males. Make men men again. LowCountryMail.com.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your Clemson football destination. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
I got to read this text before we get to Will Vandervoort. Texter from the 864 says, breaking, Philip Rivers' parents suing him for producing too many grandchildren.
Oh, that's good. That's well done right there.
Oh, my gosh.
That is well done. Oh, my gosh.
Good Lord. If you don't know what that's about, at some point every hour of this show will be available on our website, theroarfm.com. You can go and listen to the beginning of Hump Day Headlines, where Ben detailed an Indian couple who is suing their son and daughter-in-law for $675,000 for not producing grandchildren. Basically, time's up, kids. Bring us grandkids. Will Vandervoort, a guy who really, I can't transition from that to Willie V. I tried my best, and I really don't want that, even for him. For his sake, I don't want that. He is with Clemson SI and with the Believe Podcast Network. He joins us right now. Willie V, what's up?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a way to transition. That's just the saddest thing.
Oh, no. We lost him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, there you are.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm
okay,
here.
Okay, good deal. Good deal with you.
Yeah, I was just saying that was the saddest thing I ever heard.
Yeah,
I know.
That's rough. Can you imagine, like, walking into court being like, well, my parents hate me, but they also want a grandkid, so I don't know what we're going to do about that.
I can't imagine, no.
All right, let's talk a little softball. We'll talk a little baseball here. Tigers host a regional. I know you wrote a piece about it and just the reaction, the softball program, really big deal. What were your main takeaways just from the news, the announcement, and how the team responded?
Yeah, I mean, it was just it reminded me of back in the old days when, Clemson baseball was, hosting, they found out they were top seed and stuff like that. And, Monty's, I don't know, is that his second year, first year? I can't remember. But that's kind of what it reminded me of, was that year, like how excited the players were and they saw their name, you know, come up as number 7 overall seed and were getting to host and also had that opportunity to host a super regional. And so it was that kind of atmosphere, you know, because it was their first time. And also kind of reminded me a little bit when the football team made the college football playoff for the first time. It was that kind of, on a smaller scale, obviously, because there wasn't 70,000 people having a pizza party. But it was that kind of excitement around. They had a little, on the deck out there, they had a little party for, you know, boosters and things of that nature that were a part of the program coming up, and with the athletic department as well there. And then the team. And then I did find it funny, though, the people who were cleaning up the tables and stuff at the end of everything was the softball players themselves. And so, Monty, if you're listening out there, you know, Coach Whitman's got those girls working a little bit harder than your boys because he's got them cleaning up after everybody. That's something I've never seen the baseball team have to do. And I was telling them that. I was like, man, you guys got to clean up. I said, I've never seen the baseball team do this. So they all got a good little chuckle out of it. But it was a fun atmosphere, good excitement over there for the program, and they had a nice little party for them and everything. It was cool.
Well, and, you know, there is a bit of a contrast where you're going to have sort of a culmination of a great season for Clemson softball this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just across the parking lot, it's a very different feel for Clemson baseball. I've said that last night's game didn't matter because the one thing that was keeping Clemson on the bubble had nothing to do with RPI or non-conference or midweek or anything like that. It was strictly conference record. That's the only thing that's the black eye on Clemson's resume, if you will. Does any of that change in your mind with the way that Clemson lost last night?
Well, it didn't help. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, they're playing a Boston College team who's really low in the RPI rankings. And so even if Clemson sweeps BC this week, their RPI is going to drop. So they needed that win last night to kind of help their RPI, if you will. And then to lose, and, you know, the committee looks at the last 10 games, Quark, even though they say they don't, but we know they do. I know they said, I've heard different committees say that's not something they really look at, but how you finish a season is very important. Now, granted, if they go and sweep BC and, you know, Clemson would have won, let me see, nine of their last, what would that have been, nine? They would start at 2-9, so they would be, 12 and,
Let's see, 11, yeah, 11 and 8.
It's 11-5 in conference play.
Yeah.
11-8, excuse me, conference play after that point. So that would show signs of improvement, obviously, and they would have, you know, they got good resume wins with wins over Georgia and Georgia Tech and things like that. So Clemson's going to be an interesting, if they should sweep BC and then maybe say they win one game in the ACC tournament, they're going to be interesting for the committee to watch. Clemson's going to be one of those teams you watch because I think they'll be on the bubble, whether it's last four in, last four out. They're going to be sitting right on that bubble, because their resume is really good, you know, and they got some good wins, and they've got sweeps over really good teams. But then they got some head-scratching losses where you just kind of like, you know, what was it, 33-9 they got outscored against Coastal Carolina in their two games?
I mean,
those are where the committee is going to look at that and just kind of be scratching their heads. But you know what, Quark, if they sweep this week and then they go and make a good run in the ACC tournament, none of that, what they did against Coastal is not going to matter. So they still have everything in front of them. It's just going to be interesting to see if they, you know, if they don't get an automatic bid, which I would say all of us are probably saying that's not likely to happen, then, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the selection committee would do on selection Sunday, or I guess selection Monday. I can't remember with baseball sometimes. It is on Monday. It's on Labor Day, right?
It's on Memorial Day, yeah. But
Memorial Day, that's what
yes.
I meant Memorial Day.
And
yeah, Labor Day is Clemson football.
Exactly, yes. Now, I'll also say this. Like, if you look at the – and D1 Baseball has Clemson in their last four in today. They just came out with it within the hour. And you've got to think the reason is that schedule. I mean, I know that there are a handful of schedules more difficult, but I did some quick number crunching between segments here. Clemson has played 31 of its 53 games against teams inside the top 50 of the RPI. Georgia Tech has played 31. Nobody else has played more than that against teams inside the top 50 of the RPI. That has to be it. That and look, you can talk about, you know, imbalanced schedules all you want. The reality is the unbalanced schedule Clemson faced is almost the most difficult combination of opponents that you could have in the ACC, even when you take into consideration that they've got Boston College coming this weekend. So it's got to be the difficulty of the schedule maybe being the factor here, correct? If Clemson does get in.
Absolutely. If you remember, I guess it'd been Coach Leggett's last year, and they got into the tournament and they barely got in. And if you remember, it came down to Clemson and North Carolina, and Clemson's resume was very similar to what this year's resume is. And though North Carolina, I believe, even won the series over Clemson during the regular season, Clemson got into the tournament over North Carolina because Clemson had the better resume and has had the, you know, so yeah, that I think having that schedule and that resume benefits Clemson. And so if they get up and, you know, if they get, I think they're going to be on the bubble with North Carolina, maybe Wake Forest, you know, as that last team in, could be Georgia Tech, I guess, too. And so Clemson, when you look at Clemson with North Carolina might have the better conference record when it's all said and done, but Clemson's going to have the better resume. When you look at Georgia Tech, Clemson's not only got, you know, Clemson's going to have the head-to-head with them, and they have about equal resume. So I think I think Clemson's schedule has set themselves up in position, especially when you look at they went, 22-5 in midweek games. That's gonna look good for them. So, and they got wins against Georgia during that stretch. They swept South Carolina. That's gonna help, you know. Like I said before, that they got some good wins on there. And it's gonna benefit them that they've played the schedule that they have going down the stretch here, beating the likes of Florida State and Georgia Tech and Georgia.
Visit with Will Vandervoort here on the program. Check him out, Clemson SI and the Believe Podcast Network. Couple things that you wrote about in the last couple days. You mentioned a Tom Fornelli colleague or a Tom Fornelli story about his colleagues and the way that Dabo Swinney was ranked behind Kirby Smart now in the head coach rankings. Give us a little bit of your take there about why you feel Dabo should still be ahead of Kirby Smart and maybe the argument there as we've seen Clemson's program take on a little bit of water on the football side here in the offseason.
Yeah, when you look at, you know, when you're doing rankings like that, you've got to put everything into account. So it's not just what they did last year. And I think that was the point he's making because he thinks, you know, Dabo should be ranked ahead of Kirby Smart. If people don't know, on CBS Sports, they listed the top coaches in college football, and Dabo is listed number three behind Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. And Smart jumped Dabo. Dabo was number two last year. Kirby was number seven, and they moved Kirby. He and the panelists, not him, but he says, you know, because he voted Dabo number two. If you go and read it, he'll tell you that. His colleagues voted Kirby Smart over Dabo, and so he talked about how that was a mistake. That it's the only ranking that's wrong in the rankings, and I agree with him because you got to not just look at what just happened last year. You got to look at the whole body of work. And though Kirby Smart has done some good things at Georgia, he's taken them to the playoffs twice. They've won a national championship, first time since 1980. All that's good stuff. But Dabo Swinney, you can't take away what he's done. Played in the national championship four times. Has won two of them. He's the only coach to have multiple national championships on this list, other than Nick Saban. In the college football playoff era, Nick Saban has three national championships. Dabo has two. Nick Saban's been to the college football playoff seven times. Dabo six times. Nick Saban's played for the title six times. Dabo's played for it four times. And then when you look at the record, I mean, Clemson 11 straight 10-win seasons. Only Alabama and Nick Saban can claim better than that. They've got 14 straight. So I think that's the point he makes, and I totally agree with him, that Dabo, his body of work overall should still trump Kirby Smart's body of work. Now, if Smart takes them to the national championship game next year and they win – then you maybe reexamine it at that point in time. Or if he goes on a run like Dabo is in a few years, you reexamine it if Clemson hadn't added to it. So I think his argument was valid and, you know, and true. But, you know, this is what recency bias is what we're all about in this country. Everybody's great at the moment. Everybody forgets about the other team. It's, you know, things are different. Now, you used to remember champions, but next year we'll all forget how good Georgia is because we'll all say how great that next opponent was. You know, it only took 1 year for Clemson going to be the greatest team ever, for LSU to take over as the greatest team ever. And last year we heard Georgia was. So, you know, it is what it is. each year is different. Recency bias is always a thing. I think we all need to take steps back and reexamine everything in totality before we start making assumptions. But that's the society we live in now. We make quick assumptions and opinions without necessarily having all the facts.
All right, and the final one for you. We haven't really touched this on air because we're kind of waiting on a shoe to drop, but Deshaun Watson going to meet with the NFL. I know you wrote a piece about it this week. What do we feel like is a timeline there? What do you expect to come out of those meetings with the NFL?
Well, from everything I've just been listening to and reading, that it sounds like the NFL kind of wants to – we already know that news has already come out that they're not going to get a trial started before the season starts. So that's going to go into 2023 now. So don't look for a trial to start till 2023 with Deshaun Watson. Well, the NFL knows that doesn't look good, that, you know, here's a guy who's, you know, on trial, not necessarily guilty or not. I'm just saying he's going to be on trial for, you know, these alleged assaults that have happened. And the NFL is going to have him playing without any punishment. So the NFL is going to look at their code of conduct to see if Deshaun did some things that would that the league would say that doesn't look good on the league. And so he's meeting with investigators. I think today he actually met with some with an investigator today in the NFL, and they'll have another meeting, I believe, is scheduled. And then after that, you could see, from what I've heard, at some point before the season starts, and I don't know when, they didn't say, nobody knows the timeline, but at some point before the season starts, we could see the NFL hand down a suspension to Deshaun Watson. And whether he, you know how many games that is, we don't know. But keep in mind, it's not necessarily saying he's guilty of something or not. It's just saying maybe he didn't act in the code of conduct that the NFL asks his players to do. The same thing with Ben Roethlisberger when he was going through a similar situation. He got suspended for 6 games initially for something unbecoming of a player under the conduct policy that he did, which was contributing to alcohol to a minor. And that's what got him suspended for what he ended up, you know, appealing it and getting a 4-game suspension. So, you know, it could come something along those lines, whatever the NFL finds out in their investigation.
Good stuff. Will Vandevort from Clemson SI and I Believe Podcast Network. He joins us each and every Wednesday. Thanks, Willie V. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. We'll talk to y'all next week.
All right. Will Vandevort joining the program. In our final segment, we have many more Hump Day headlines. We'll give you a Braves update, too, coming next.
Out with the old and in with the new. Granger Nissan is celebrating the spring the best way we know how, by getting you into that new vehicle you've been eyeing. With the largest inventory to choose from, we know we can get you in the right vehicle for you and your family. And speaking of old, take advantage of your car's trade-in value at its peak. We'll buy the car from you without a purchase. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Did you know State Credit Union now offers the same services big banks offer? Services like online account opening, online loan applications, mobile banking, remote check deposit, person-to-person transfers, electronic signatures, and more. All with better interest rates and lower fees than the big banks. Check them out today and see why over 400 people per month are joining State Credit Union. Visit them online at scscu.com. That's scscu.com. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Mattress shopping is brutal, almost as bad as buying a used car. Engineered Sleep has made the process of finding the perfect mattress simple and easy. Each mattress sold is designed and made themselves, making it less confusing and saves you hundreds of dollars buying it direct from the manufacturer. Better Sleep is only 70 cents a night. Visit Monday through Saturday for a stress-free and pleasant experience. Use WCCB for 10% off and 2 free pillows. Up to $475 savings. Free local delivery, American-made, engineeredsleep.com. Better Sleep, rest assured.
The magic to save fuel costs at home is right under your feet. Your home is on a free and renewable source of energy. Water Furnace Geothermal Comfort Systems use that energy to heat, cool, and provide hot water to your home. There's a 26% federal tax credit and a 25% South Carolina tax credit on Water Furnace Geothermal Systems. Plus, you can get a $1,600 per ton rebate as a Blue Ridge Electric Co-op customer. Call Eric Rooney at 735-8081. Water Furnace. Magic right under your feet.
What goes into a Bojangles scratch-made buttermilk biscuit? 49 savory steps. During Bojangles Buttermilk Biscuit Month, get a free Cajun Filet biscuit when you order on the Bojangles app. It's bow time.
This weekend, the Clemson Tigers are at home for the regular season finale as they play host to the Boston College Eagles. With this being the last series of the season, the Tigers look to end things strong with some wins. Airtimes begin at 5:30, 2:30, and 11:30. Catch it all right here on the Clemson Athletic Network.
Right here on The Roar, 105.5 and 97.5, where every day is game day.
For years, we've shared with you why Roto-Rooter should be your plumber. You've told us about the great work Roto-Rooter does for your home and your business. That same Roto-Rooter we promote is also a great place to work. In fact, your earning potential as a plumber with Roto-Rooter is up to you, with compensation ranging from $50,000 to $100,000 plus. And full benefits. Roto-Rooter locally invests in your health benefits, in your well-being, and in your future. Studies indicate that 1 in 7 plumbing jobs in America is done by a Roto-Rooter plumbing professional. And with the continued strong growth in homes and new businesses across the Carolinas, you'll have plenty of work to keep you busy and earn between $50,000 and $100,000 plus. Roto-Rooter's been around nearly 90 years, and the local owners have been a part of that legacy for over 30. Find out more at rotocareers.com. That's rotocareers.com. You'll thank you later.
While you're hiding your face behind the 2-inch collar of your jacket, we're punishing a train heat pump at 0 degrees. While you're waiting out a Little League rain delay, we're dumping 5 inches of water an hour on a train air conditioner that's still running. While you're doing whatever it is you do, we're testing, retesting, engineering, and re-engineering to keep up with you. We run together.
Pittman Heating and Air Conditioning, when you need the absolute best service at the best price. Visit PittmanAC.com today for comfort all year long. Pittman Heating and Air Conditioning has been proudly keeping the upstate comfortable for almost 50 years. When you call 864-882-3215 or visit PittmanAC.com, you can schedule for free estimates on a new system installation or replacement. Pittman Heating and Air Conditioning is your local independent Trane dealer. Call 864-882-3215 or visit PittmanAC.com today.
It's hard to stop a train.
Spend your lunch every day with Kwok and Ben on Out of Bounds. We promise, they'll save you a plate.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter that serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
Weekdays from noon to 3, right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Program, glad to have you with us. The Braves 4-0 lead was cut in half, so a little bit of the shine worn off on the back-to-back Jacks in the top of the fourth. Brewers get 2 off of Max Fried in the bottom of 4, still up 4-2. If you had asked me how many runs would Corbin Burns and Max Fried give up today, over under 4.5, I would have taken the under, and they've already combined to give up 6 through 4 innings. So that's a little bit more than I thought, and the Braves still lead, so that's nice.
You set up that pitching duel nicely earlier today.
I did, and it has not transpired. Well, I mean, the first couple innings looked like you would expect, and then yeah, things have come unglued a bit. Before we get back to a few more hump day headlines, James the truck driver joins us on the phone, 654-ROAR, 654-7627, if you'd like to join him there. What's up, James?
Hey, man, I'll tell you one thing. It's a great day. It's a little warm, but it feels pretty good.
Hey, the weather is great.
Kelly? I miss hearing. Yes, where's Kelly? I just kind of ain't.
Kelly?
I ain't been able to hear the show.
Yes, she has moved on to focus on her work with the ACC Network and her podcast with Eric McLane. And so Ben is now here, and John is now with Brad, and we've moved some pieces around. And so this is your lineup for now. And we wish Kelly all the best. She's still – we text just about every day.
Oh, great. Well, here's what I was going to ask you about South Carolina, too. With South Carolina in there, do they look like they may be able to do anything this year with Arkansas? That's – you know, do you see us kind of – handling Arkansas, you think Arkansas going to beat us, but I'm going to tell you this, down here, this, so much I want to say, but I don't have a lot of time. I was in Walmart, and me, I told you this before, and this guy was talking to me about race and the world and all this stuff. So I really didn't want to hear that. You know, I'm like, man, I just want to go in the grocery store and get what I need and leave. And I thought, wait a minute, Lord, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity. So, you know, he kept talking to me. I said, I started talking to him. Hey, man, God loves you. You know, when you're going to spend eternity if you die. You know, he got real quiet. So then we went down to Roman Road with him. I just shared how God sees things, you know, that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. And that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die in your place. And I asked him, do you know why Jesus died? He really didn't know. I said, well, let me explain why he died. So we ain't talking about race. We ain't talking about the world. Now we're talking about personal relation with Jesus Christ. I said, man, if you want to give your life to Jesus in Walmart, you can get saved right here in Walmart. He said, brother, I want to get saved today. And that brother, not give me no credit, but hey, one got saved right there in Walmart. I said, look at Jesus. Look out there. Because I could have taken that in a whole different attitude. But I said, Lord, you give us an opportunity every day to make a difference in this world. And one day, we're going to give an account to God for the gifts he gave us. So when he gave us that opportunity, we have to use what God gave us and not to take that gift and just shun it away. So I said, man, so I'm going to let you go. But I just want to share you how God did something so wonderful in Walmart. Even when people are talking about other things, God can take a conversation, turn it around.
That's a
I appreciate that so very much.
That is a great perspective, James, and I appreciate you sharing. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
Love hearing from James. Such an uplifting guy. And, you know, for a guy who's very
uplifting. It's going to be really hard for me to transition back to Hump Day headlines
I know. And just to tell him that, I'm not sure South Carolina will beat Arkansas. I would say, and I'm looking right now at FPI win totals. South Carolina is projected to win about six games, like 5.9 or something, and Arkansas is at 6.5. And so it is a game that if you're going to make a bowl, you could do a lot. You could do a lot for yourself by going ahead and winning that game in week two over Arkansas. I think Arkansas is just a little bit ahead of them right now. Again, if I had to handicap it, I would say probably a 65% chance or something like that, that Arkansas wins. Because it's there. I mean, if South Carolina hosted it, it might be a little more like 50-50. Because while I think Sam Pittman is building something really good at Arkansas, I kind of think that people are a little bit over their skis with Arkansas and where they are as a program and where they are in that building process. So I would suspect I'm not going to be as high on Arkansas as maybe some people going into the year. That would be my projection on that score. Ben, how much more you got on Hump Day headlines?
I've got one more really good one.
Okay.
I was going to go, I was reserving one for just silly court-related things, laws, et cetera. I was going to go with the governor of Illinois passing a law last week, further clarifying that you can't smash and grab. Further clarifying that you can't go in, bust windows in a retail store. You can't go in with 10 people and all split up and everybody grab stuff and run out. They feel the need to further clarify that that is indeed a crime and that you can't do it. Yeah, we had a signing in Chicago, signing this into law. Like, maybe we ought to do that for murder in Chicago, just putting it out there.
Good gosh. So was there ever a question?
Apparently there's a lot of questions right now. Like, oh, I never knew you couldn't do that.
Smash and grab. What are we talking about?
I was going to save it for that, but then I stumbled across this one, which is happening today. Are you familiar with Happy the Elephant?
I'm not.
Are you ever heard of Happy?
No.
Happy the Elephant is an Asian elephant that has lived in the Bronx Zoo for 45 years. She has four limbs, expressive eyes, and likes to stroll through greenery in New York City. Happy by species is an Asian elephant. Quack, but is she also a person? That is the question that New York's highest court is listening to today. The New York's highest court is listening to whether or not Happy the Elephant is also a person. Because after all, it's 2022. You can be whatever you want to be, even if it's an elephant being a person. You can do that. We're not talking about Georgia Tech. You can be that. We're talking about the United States. You can do whatever you want to do. Be whoever you want to be. Advocates are saying, taking this approach because they're saying she's being held without her will. It's imprisonment of a person.
No.
That's how we're breaking elephants out of jail now, out of zoo jail, but we're going to call them a person and that they are being falsely imprisoned. This is a quote. She has from a rights activist. She has an interest in exercising her choices and deciding who she wants to be with and where to go and what to do and what to eat.
Wait.
That is from the attorney speaking on behalf of Happy the Elephant. The zoo is prohibiting her from making any of those choices herself.
But wait a minute. Can the elephant testify? I mean, that should be the test of personhood. Can you testify in your own defense.
I mean, can you take the stand? I can, but it's going to be messy. It's going to be messy.
I mean, well, of course it's going to be messy. The way the elephant tells you what's going to is flinging poop. It's going
to
be messy.
You have got to be.
This is a joke. Like, this is a joke.
This is dead serious. New York's highest court is entertaining this nonsense today.
That an elephant today has the status of a person.
Yeah. The elephant's a person. Smokes.
What a
she's
joke.
Been. She's been in prison for 45 years. And you can't do that to a
but
person.
But she hasn't said that. They're assuming that the elephant feels in prison. That's an assumption, I would imagine.
The Bronx Zoo actually has had to hire an attorney
to
fight against whether or not their beautiful, magnificent elephant is a person. imagine getting that phone call. You're the paralegal and you're answering the call. Like, Mr. Shapiro, line two. Have you ever represented an elephant, by the way? Are you kidding me?
You said it was equal parts hilarious and really maddening. And that would fit the bill. That would fit the bill for both of those. Ben, I have an animal related one.
Derek said, don't say she. Use the proper pronoun.
For the elephant.
But check her Twitter bio and see what I'm supposed to say.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, my Lord. What are we doing?
Ben, I need to read this from the New York, but we have 3 minutes left. I have two to get to. This is Jenna Limoncelli from the New York Post. An unwanted guest made a surprise appearance at Ring Central Coliseum on Monday during the Oakland Athletics and Minnesota Twins game. This is in Oakland. Dick Bremer, the Twins' longtime play-by-play broadcaster, tweeted that a possum had entered the booth and he had to evacuate so an exterminator could remove the animal. There are pictures of the possum coming down through the ceiling into the booth. Like, came down into the press box, made its way into the booth. There are social media pictures of the possum climbing down like electrical wiring.
Oh, man.
Into the press box.
They just trumped my mouse story from yesterday.
It's incredible. You've got Dallas Braden, who does work for the A's. He says, coming into the office today and just gathering some paperwork, and I caught the tail end of the stay of our little visitor. What does a possum in the press box mean? Don't sleep on the A's. That's what that means. Hashtag playing possum.
Oh, brother.
Unfortunately for the A's, the possum's presence didn't bring him much luck as they fell to the Twins 3-1. Fourth time this month, the Twins have beaten the A's. Yeah, the radio crew had to evacuate so that an exterminator could remove the possum who came in from the ceiling. And Ben, speaking of things that look like rats, our final story in Hump Day headline, former Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski, credited with $13.7 million in compensation for the 2020 calendar year.
He made how much?
Let's read. This is USA Today. This is from Steve Berkowitz. Mike Krzyzewski was credited with nearly $13.7 million in total compensation for 2020, his penultimate full calendar year as Duke men's basketball coach, the university's new federal tax returns show.